All right, and again, we are so happy to have Sister Jeannie Thaler, who is going to be speaking to us this morning. We greatly appreciate Brother Sean and Sister Jeannie Thaler. Sister Jeannie helps us with our youth, with our young ladies, and she also teaches her girls in her Sunday school class. So she is a very, very busy woman. We appreciate her. With that said, I'm going to turn it over to you now, Sister.
Thank you, Brother Vic. I'm very excited to be here today talking, and I feel like God did place something small and just something that I've been thinking about lately, and I've kind of been thinking about revival, and, you know, this is something that we hear about all the time. It's something that, you know, there's a promise of revival. It's always in our hearts. But I have been thinking more about what revival used to mean to me and what it means to me now. And I'm not sure if the change in the definition of what it is to me is because I've gotten older or if it's, you know, I've changed or my eyes have been opened. But I really feel like I've just gained a little understanding. And if you're already here and this is something that, you know, you understand, everyone understands, then I'm a little late, but I just really feel like God helped me to understand something during this time about revival, and I'm just excited to share it. So I remember, you know, as a young person, very young, we started coming to this church when I was like the tail end of 4 years old, and grew up hearing about revival, grew up, you know, hearing the word kind of tossed around, used in different ways. When someone pulls up, you know, and is going to preach for us, you know, they're starting a revival. When, you know, new visitors show up, we're in revival. So you kind of hear it in different ways, and you kind of formulate your own idea of what revival is. And I know, you know, for myself that revival wasn't, in my mind, the right idea. And to me, I thought, you know, if some of this was kind of just instilled by critics even. So you know, I think of revival, you know, as a younger person, as being when people come to our church and our church gets bigger, and this was my, you know, teen idea of revival. And I remember, you know, I had a lot of friends that unfortunately they did walk away from God, and they, you know, in the way sometimes that they do, you know, when people walk away from God, sometimes they become critical. Not all people do, but some people do, and they'll, you know, find things to say about what went wrong, you know, what they didn't like. And as a young person, it was very hurtful often to hear people say, you know, like, this church always talks about revival, but it hasn't happened. You know, where is this revival? And this was something that I heard a lot. And as a young person, it was discouraging. You know, I never did lose faith in the promise that we had. You know, no one can take that from me. No one can shake that. But it did hurt a little bit, you know, because I think that in that moment, myself and their self were thinking of the same type of revival. That we were thinking about tons of people coming in and sticking, and that was our idea, and they said it wasn't happening, and I kind of was able to acknowledge, you know what, they're right, we've seen people come in, and for whatever reason, you know, they're just only a few take, and the rest are gone. So that was my young version of revival, but I just really feel like I currently am now seeing something that I didn't really see before. And I found a really cool article that helped me to kind of tie it together. And I was looking for this because I heard of a story, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, it was legitimate. So I looked it up, and I found that King Tut, you know, I'm sure some people are familiar with King Tut, that he was a young pharaoh. He was a pharaoh at the age of 9. So at 9 years old, he started, you know, doing big things. But unfortunately, he passed away at the age of, between the age of 18 and 19 is what they're saying. So you have this powerful person with, you know, huge future goals, I'm sure, ends up passing away very young. And this is a pretty common thing, but back then they would bury people with things that mattered to them. They would bury people with, you know, if it was a person that had a sweet tooth, they would bury them with some wafers or, like, even paintings of cakes or pastries and things like that. But this particular person, King Tut, was buried with a harvest. It was a wreath that he liked, and also many seeds. So I'm going to read a little piece of this article. And it just says, in what scientists have called a major archaeological find, a London graduate student has rediscovered a funeral wreath and a harvest of fruit and grain placed in the tomb of the Egyptian boy pharaoh, King Tut, more than 3,300 years ago. So you have a young person that was buried with potential for a harvest. So I was just kind of stuck on this idea, you know, just a young person, you know, you have all these dreams, these thoughts, you're ambitious, but for whatever reason, I didn't look into his death, but he passed away at a young age, way too young, but he was buried with all the tools for a harvest. So it was said that they wanted him to be able to be sustained in the afterlife. They believed in kind of crazy things, but we know that he had everything buried with him to have a harvest. And this is just really, you know, like getting my mind going and thinking, you know, this is what I've been feeling, this is what I've been seeing now. And, you know, since we have been through this interesting, very, very interesting time in our lives, I have started to see people, you know, so to speak, waking up in their coffin and realizing that they have all these tools that were buried with them. And I'm not going to say any names, you know, I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but there are so many people that I've talked to recently in our church that have, you can see them sitting up, you know, you can see them, this is revival, being revived. Revival has not so much to do with people who aren't the people of God right now. You know, you have to be dead to be revived. And we do put a lot of focus on, you know, an in-gathering, which I believe that's a result of the revival of the church. And we're starting to see a lot of people, and I'm sure, you know, you have talked to and, you know, gotten together with someone and had lunch, and they're thinking, you know, we're all thinking about the things that we may have put aside, the things that we might have believed with such passion, the things that we believe God gave to us, and lay dormant with us. You know, some people, as far as even dying spiritually, due to many things, offenses, pride, you know, just so many things can kill the spirit of the church. And I'm starting to see different people starting to wake up, you know, sitting up in their coffins and realizing, you know, I'm awake now, and I'm looking at all this potential, at all these things that I know that God gave to me. And it is such an encouraging place to be. I can't say enough, you know, how in awe I am of where we are at as a church and where God brought us. You know, I didn't really see this happening. You know, I didn't see this being the result of everything that has taken place in the last few months. But I am just so excited, and I know that soon we will all start to see the fruits of this new awakening, of this type of revival, which I believe, you know, and it's not just, you know, what I'm making up and thinking in my head, because I sometimes can think interesting things. But if we go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, very, very common verse, and this has just been on my mind since, you know, the whole pandemic thing started. I've just had this on my mind, and it says, if my people, which are called by my name, so this verse really came to life to me, because I always saw it as, you know, people that are everywhere, people that are not doing right, you know, maybe people that don't know God, but it's my people, which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves. So that's kind of the first step of, I'm so just the way I'm interpreting it right now, is the first step of revival is to humble yourself, to recognize, you know, where you went wrong, and kind of what got you into that place of, you know, being dead. And then you just say, you know what, God, I was wrong. I'm humbling myself and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So this is where revival starts. It's not, you know, I don't know, you know, where this concept is. This wasn't, you know, taught to us by Pastor Clark for sure. It's something we came up with on our own, thinking that, you know, we would just be in church and all these people would come in and, you know, it would just go that way. But he has said many times, you know, the church has to be in a certain place, a healthy place, to be a mother to all these souls. And in order for us to get there, this revival has to take place, the awakening of ourselves, like our own congregation, the people that are here right now. And, you know, this also includes backsliders, which I'm really excited to see happen, and I'm really feeling like it's on its way very soon. So I'm just feeling very encouraged, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share this. And I am so excited to see just the fruits that come forth from the revival that we are in right now. And that is all I have, Brother Vic.
And it was a great, great thought and a message this morning. Thank you, Sister Jeannie. Thank you for this great message and thought on revival. First of all, I didn't realize that Sister Jeannie was only 4 years old when she started coming to church. That's a powerful testimony in and of itself. And it's encouraging to know that there's many others who came into the church from an early age. And it's exciting to remember that the seed of revival that Sister Jeannie talked about was placed inside of Sister Jeannie and many of our adults, our young people, and our children. And we're going to begin to see that seed germinate and begin to grow. Church, why don't we go ahead and thank God right now for that revival, for that seed of revival that's been placed in us. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this great thought and message of encouragement that Sister Jeannie Thaler has given us this morning. Allow that seed to germinate inside of us, Lord. Allow that seed to begin to sprout up and grow, Lord Jesus, because we want to see your revival break forth in your church. We thank you for this, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God, church. And with that said, we want to remind everyone about our Bible study devotion tonight with Brother Stephen Orell. Make sure you join us on this same line at 7:15 p.m. tonight. God bless all of you, and be thinking about revival during the day. Praise God and amen.